Well, Sabbath blessings, one and all, and welcome to our Friday evening church service. Welcome to those on the phone, those listening to the recording, and those here in the room. And it's great to be back in fellowship with you all once again. Our opening song for tonight's service is titled, He Leadeth Me. And you can find the lyrics to this wonderful hymn on our website at lightministries.com in the home church section, under music and then under hymns. He leadeth me, O blessed thought, O words with heavenly comfort fraught. Whate'er I do, where'er I be, still 'tis Christ's hand that leadeth me. He leadeth me, He leadeth me, by His own hand He leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by His hand He leadeth me. Sometimes mid scenes of deepest gloom, sometimes where Eden's bowers bloom, by water still or troubled sea, still 'tis His hand that leadeth me. He leadeth me, He leadeth me, by His own hand He leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by His hand He leadeth me. Lord, I would clasp my hand in Thine, nor ever murmur or repine. Content, whatever lot I see, since 'tis Your hand that leadest me. He leadeth me, He leadeth me, by His own hand He leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by His hand He leadeth me. And when my task on earth is done, when by Thy grace the victory's won, even death's cold wave I will not flee, since Thou in triumph leadest me. He leadeth me, He leadeth me, by His own hand He leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by His hand He leadeth me. What a wonderful God we serve, that take us by the hand and lead us into life everlasting. Thank you, Savior. May we please bow our heads and kneel as far as we're able to do so for opening prayer. Our dear precious Heavenly Father, we thank you for thy great love, thy merciful kindness, thy tender compassion towards each one of your children. Thank you for thy many and wonderful blessings. Thank you for the blessing of allowing us to come through another week with what health we have in order to gather together and to worship our God in spirit and in truth. Father, please dwell with us tonight. Please bring your presence near. And the joy, the love, and the peace, and the light that surrounds you and your throne. We meet here in the name of Jesus, your Son, and we thank you for being here. Dear Savior, we also plead that thy presence will be here. Please take the throne of our heart and rule within us. A transformation from death to life, from error to truth, from darkness to light. And thank you so much for doing so. And dear Holy Spirit, we also plead with thee that your presence will be here. Please open our understanding. Help us to clearly discern the spiritual lessons and the truths that are found within the word of inspiration. Help not a single precious gem of light be lost. And please continue to work within us the leaving off of sin, the separation of our affections from the world, and filling us with righteousness. That we might indeed live up to the fullness of the stature of men and women and children in Christ Jesus. Please continue to reveal to us what sins we have registered against our name in the record books of heaven, and help us to be putting off these sins and not adding on to them. And thank you so much for pricking our conscience and convicting us of our sins and of righteousness and of judgment soon to come. Dear Savior, as our great physician, I pray that you'll be with all of those among us that are afflicted in various ways, whether in health, in mind, in emotion, and thank you so much for bringing healing. So thank you, dear Godhead, for being here in our midst and for blessing this meeting. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. So happy Sabbath, one and all, and it's good to be back in fellowship with you. We're continuing in chapter 33 of Patriarchs and Prophets, titled From Sinai to Kadesh. And we're down right at the bottom of page 382 to the paragraph that starts out in the appointment. And where we left off last time was that it was not just Moses who was the leader of the children of Israel. God was the real leader of the children of Israel, but Moses was placed in a high position of responsibility. But he was not alone in this position because Aaron was his right-hand man. And even Miriam, a woman, was third in control, I guess. So that shows that women do have their place in the management, in the control, in the leadership roles dealing with God's people. And Miriam was gifted by God in poetry and in music, and she was instrumental in leading the women of Israel to become active in praising the Lord through song. But Miriam was not above temptation, and she was not without fault. And some of the same evils that brought discord into heaven in the beginning of this great controversy was within her heart. And it's within a lot of hearts, not just hers, but we're dealing with this particular point in time. So that's where we left off, and now we pick it up at this new paragraph. In the appointment of the 70 elders, Miriam and Aaron had not been consulted, and their jealousy was excited against Moses. So we have a situation here in which God told Moses what to do to alleviate Moses' position of feeling that he just can't take it anymore. And since God directed Moses what to do, there was no need to consult with Aaron and Miriam as to their wisdom or knowledge or opinions on this matter. So Moses went ahead and followed the Lord's will. The 70 elders were chosen. God's Spirit was put upon them, and they all prophesied. But because Miriam and Aaron had not been consulted as the second and third in control, they became jealous of Moses. Now let's see where this jealousy leads them. Continuing. At the time of Jethro's visit, while the Israelites were on the way to Sinai, the ready acceptance by Moses of the counsel of his father-in-law had aroused in Aaron and Miriam a fear that his influence with the great leader exceeded theirs. In the organization of the council of elders, they felt that their position and authority had been ignored. Miriam and Aaron had never known the weight of care and responsibility which had rested upon Moses, yet because they had been chosen to aid him, they regarded themselves as sharing equally with him the burden of leadership, and they regarded the appointment of further assistance as uncalled for. Now, it's interesting here. It's one thing to have questions. It's another thing to respond to those questions as if it is reality. So with the appointment of 70 elders, without Miriam and Aaron being called for counsel, they had questions. Why were we left out? What should they have done with those questions? Amen. One would be to go and ask Moses, hey, could you please tell us why we were not counseled or brought into the decision-making process before these 70 elders were chosen? Amen. Another comment is they should have gone to God with their questions. We're told in the spirit of prophecy that we're to think the best of others, not the worst. that we're to give them the benefit of the doubt that what took place that we have a question on was done with innocence, without any type of motive to harm. Or that it's just a big misunderstanding. Nothing of malice connected with it. But a lot of time, when we begin to ask questions as to why someone did something, or why we were left out, we start to answer our own question. Why were we left out? Oh, well, a possible reason why is because so-and-so has something against me. Or so-and-so is trying to put me out of my position of responsibility, trying to supersede me. So that's where the jealousy started to come in. They had questions. Why weren't we consulted? Well, you know, why are these 70 elders all of a sudden being chosen? Their questions are okay. The answers they gave themselves was evil. That's where the jealousy came in. They believed that Moses was trying to go above their heads in appointing these elders. When that wasn't the case at all. So they imagined evil against Moses. They surmised, another word for imagine, they surmised evil against Moses. And they became jealous based on how they imagined the answer to their question would be. So you see the progression here? Instead of taking their questions to Moses to find the real reason, they kept it to themselves. They discussed it back and forth among themselves. Why would this take place? Well, one reason why was because Moses has something against us. That's surmising evil. When there's no proof, all that's there is just a question. The same with Jethro's visit, Moses' father-in-law. He suggested a way in which the great amount of pressure and care and responsibility that was upon Moses could be shared among the congregation and thus help in the process of organization, help it run more smoothly. That was good counsel. Moses followed it. But Aaron and Miriam became jealous of the fact that now instead of just the three of them leading Israel, it was now all of the others that were involved in the organizational functioning of the body. So they had their own ideas of how things should operate. And because they weren't consulted in the operational design, they became put out of shape. Their feelings became hurt. Self rose up and clamored for recognition. Amen. The comment in the room, it says, self was standing in the way, leaning on their own understanding, instead of going to God, instead of giving Moses the benefit of the doubt that everything was innocent. Amen. Another comment says, a negative mind is the devil's playground. So then when we find ourselves having questions about the actions or the words of others, we need to, first of all, take it to God. Next, we need to avoid answering our own questions. And if it's really something that's bothering us, we need to take it directly to the person we have a question about. So after taking it to God and after trying to keep ourselves from imagining what the answer to our question is, if we don't want to confront the person that it's about, we then need to avoid surmising anything evil, anything negative against them. If we're going to imagine anything, let it be positive. Let it be something that's good. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, dwell on those things, not on anything negative, but positive. That way the devil won't be able to come in and rile you up because you're thinking something evil as the motive as to why so-and-so said this or so-and-so did this. That will prevent the devil from coming in and stirring up a whole big pot of mess. That's only going to bring dissension amongst God's people, just as it did in heaven. Amen. Another comment, it says, we're not mind readers. That is very true. Another comment, it says, I am guilty of having done that, letting my feeling overcome me, answering my own questions, thinking the worst. Lord, forgive me because I am oh so guilty. And I think we all are guilty, dear sister. And may God forgive us for following in that same downward spiraling pathway that ends in division, dissension, separation, and all kinds of turmoil that was all based on imagination alone. Nothing factual. And some people, when they imagine wrong, their body reacts as if the wrong had actually occurred. So their emotions come into the picture. And instead of it just being, well, this may be a possible reason why, it's, this is the reason why. And it's all imaginary. So they should have gone to Moses. If they didn't want to go to Moses, then they should have thought the best, not the worst of the situation. But first and foremost, they should have gone to God. Because God is the only one that could have kept their feelings in check. So because Miriam and Aaron had been chosen to aid Moses, they regarded themselves as equally sharing with him the burden of leadership and bringing other leaders into the mix. Dividing the responsibility they felt was uncalled for. They knew more than Moses. So we see another problem in the mix is that they felt unappreciated. They felt that they were of more importance to the work than what they really were. They were exalting their importance. So you can see the devil working in the situation. And it was all because they allowed self to get in the mix. If self would have been crucified, they would not have imagined evil against Moses. They would not have imagined that they were being set aside for others. They would not imagine that their influence was being superseded. And none of us, dear ones, are above allowing self to come into the mix. But if we could just recognize what's taking place when the questions come up, darting that prayer to God, continuing. Moses felt the importance of the great work committed to him as no other man had ever felt it. He realized his own weakness, and he made God his counselor. Aaron esteemed himself more highly and trusted less in God. He had failed when entrusted with responsibility, giving evidence of the weakness of his character by his base compliance in the matter of the idolatrous worship at Sinai. So here Aaron had made great blunders in God's work, and that should have led him to trust less in self and more in God. To trust less in his own ideas and more in the ideas of others, including God. But instead of recognizing his weakness, he just continued to allow it to manifest itself in his life. So he didn't learn the lessons he already should have learned, and thus he's going to be led into the same downward path as before. Continuing. But Miriam and Aaron, blinded by jealousy and ambition, lost sight of this. Aaron had been highly honored by God in the appointment of his family to the sacred office of the priesthood. Yet even this now added to the desire of self-exaltation. And they said, Aaron and Miriam, "Hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken also by us?" Regarding themselves as equally favored by God, they felt that they were entitled to the same position and authority. So just like with Lucifer, being so closely connected with the throne of God, he felt that he should be equally favored right along with God. So instead of being content in the exalted position of responsibility he already had, he desired for even more responsibility than what God had allotted him. So regarding themselves as equally favored by God, Aaron and Miriam felt that they were entitled to the same position and authority as was Moses. Continuing, yielding to the spirit of dissatisfaction, Miriam found cause of complaint in events that God had especially overruled. Now look at the progression here. First came questions, then came jealousy, Then came disaffection. Then came complaints. If they would not have been jealous, there would be no cause for complaints. If they would not have surmised evil in Moses, there would have been no cause for jealousy and thus no cause for complaints. Continuing. The marriage of Moses had been displeasing to her. That he should choose a woman of another nation instead of taking a wife from among the Hebrews was an offense to her family and national pride. Zipporah was treated with ill-disguised contempt. So the complaint was against Moses' wife, but it was leveled against Moses. It was his fault for involving himself in this marriage. Was there cause for any complaint? The answer is no. But because Miriam was jealous, she found reasonable cause to complain, but no justified cause for complaint. So in other words, she was complaining over something that was a non-issue. But trying to get Miriam to recognize it was a non-issue was very difficult because of the underlying reason of jealousy. And that was all brought on from evil surmising. So again, all of this is imaginary. But to Miriam, it's real. How can you break through that blindness, thinking that imaginary things are actually real? That there's cause for complaining about a leader that God has chosen, proven, established. When someone is blinded by self, it's nearly impossible to get them to recognize the fact. Amen. And that's a good point. A comment in the room, it says, Miriam was piling displeasure upon displeasure until she made a mountain of it. So to Miriam, this was a gigantic mountain that could not be overlooked. It could not be explained. And in leveling the accusation against Moses that he had no right to marry Zipporah, the accusation was designed to bring Moses down, not to build him up. It was designed to destroy him so that Miriam and Aaron could then be the only leaders. Continuing. Though called a Cushite woman, Numbers 12:1, the wife of Moses was a Midianite and thus a descendant of Abraham. In personal appearance, she differed from the Hebrews in being of a somewhat darker complexion. Though not an Israelite, Zipporah was a worshiper of the true God. So she was a descendant of Abraham, just as the Israelites were a descendant of Abraham. So even though she was not an Israelite, she was still a descendant of Abraham. So then Miriam's cause of complaint against Moses was invalid, because Zipporah was a worshiper of the true God, just as the Israelites were. Do you think that understanding brought relief to the mind of Miriam? Let's see. Continuing. She, or Zipporah, was of a timid, retiring disposition, gentle and affectionate, and greatly distressed at the sight of suffering. And it was for this reason that Moses, when on the way to Egypt, had consented to her return to Midian. He desired to spare her the pain of witnessing the judgments that were to fall on the Egyptians. When Zipporah rejoined her husband in the wilderness, she saw that his burdens were wearing away his strength, and she made known her fears to Jethro, who suggested measures for his relief. Here was the chief reason for Miriam's antipathy to Zipporah. Smarting under the supposed neglect shown to herself and Aaron, again, supposed is imaginary. Smarting under the imaginary neglect shown to herself and Aaron. So what has had to happen for her feelings to get involved? To smart under? Self had to rise up, but the questions they had, they answered themselves in a negative way, and then their feelings reacted to the negative answered question. We've been neglected. We've been shut out, and this was intentional. We're being set aside. Their feelings then smarted under this imaginary wrong done to them. So smarting under the supposed neglect shown to herself and Aaron, she continuing, she regarded the wife of Moses as the cause, concluding that her influence had prevented him from taking them into his counsels as formerly. So again, why did this happen? They answered their own questions. Because we're being set aside. Why are we being set aside? Well, it's the wife of Moses that has influence over him that led him to set us aside and to follow the counsel of his father-in-law instead of his brother and sister. And Zipporah is the whole reason for this. She has a hold on Moses' mind. He does whatever she wants him to. And all of it was imaginary. But to try and get Aaron and Miriam to recognize it was imaginary was nearly impossible. That's how strong self can rule within us. And we can be led into the very same downward spiraling pathway as we see Aaron and Miriam being led. If we don't recognize the steps. The first step was questions. The second step was answering those questions. The third step was reacting to the answer to the questions. And it all just allowed them to get more and more jealous, envious, and then anger came in. The feelings became involved. So they conclude that Zipporah's influence had prevented Moses from taking Aaron and Miriam into his councils, as formally. Continuing, had Aaron stood up firmly for the right, he might have checked the evil. But instead of showing Miriam the sinfulness of her conduct, he sympathized with her, listened to her words of complaint, and thus came to share her jealousy. So if Aaron would not have listened to the complaints of Miriam, if he would have checked the evil and shown Miriam the sinfulness of her conduct, then he would not have been brought in to this jealous affair. He would have remained aloof from it. But as he listened to her complaints, and again, Miriam's complaints were based on the answers to her own questions, and thus were imaginary. So as Aaron listened to Miriam's complaints, instead of refusing to do so and pointing out Miriam's sinfulness in evil surmising, Aaron came to share in the jealousy. Question in the room, it says, is this before or after the golden calf? This is after. The golden calf took place at Mount Sinai. And in this particular situation, they have left the encampment of Mount Sinai and were on their way to another location. So this is after the golden calf. Yeah, the lesson wasn't learned. And so now, they're tested again in the very same area, only now it's different circumstances. Did they learn the lesson? They should have. And here we see no. So they've failed this test, and God in His mercy will grant another opportunity to be tested in the very same area, but under different circumstances, to see if they've learned the lesson the second time. And praise God for His long suffering for each one of us. And praise Him again for allowing us to have His written words of inspiration so that we can see these things. So Miriam came to Aaron with her complaints about Moses and Zipporah and the father-in-law and everything else. But instead of Aaron firmly standing up for the right, in checking the evil, the sinfulness of Miriam, in evil surmising about Moses and his wife and father-in-law, he listened. Then he came to sympathize with her. You poor, poor sister. They should have never treated you that way. And you know, the more I think about your complaints, the more justified they appear in my mind. You have good reason to complain. And thus the seed has been sown in his heart, and now he has come to share in the same evil, surmising imagination and are jealous of Moses. So when someone comes to you with complaints about another, if you just listen to them and not rebuke them for their sinfulness of evil surmising, then you're going to sympathize with them and be led to share in their sin. Amen. That's a good point. Just like what happened in heaven. Lucifer came to the angels with his complaints about God and Christ. Now, there were some angels that stood up against Lucifer and said, this is so unlike the character of God and Christ. They've only treated us with the highest respect and love and joy and happiness, and what you're doing now is not based on any kind of facts. So go to God in Christ with your complaints. Don't spread them around here among us. Go to God. So some stood up against Lucifer and showed him that what he was doing was wrong and who he needed to go to try and solve the issue. But most of the angels listened. That allowed the seeds of disaffection to be planted in their hearts until they finally came to agree with the complaints and to side with Lucifer against God and Christ. So when someone comes to you with complaints about another, don't listen. Instead, check the evil. You can ask them, what proof do you have? And if they can't give you any proof that clearly backs up their complaint, then they're to be rebuked for evil surmising. May God help us to have the courage to stand up, sometimes against our own family members, sometimes against our own church brothers and sisters, and show them the sinfulness of their complaints. Not just listen to them, but to show them there's no reality backing up their complaints. It's based on surmising, imagination. That began with questions as to why this occurred. And the only one who can answer those questions are the people that they're questioning. But a lot of time they won't go to the people. And that's true, but very sad. Accusers of the brethren are not few. Another question, it says, we are responsible for what we say, what we hear, and what we do. By listening, we are sinning and allowing another to sin as well. And that's true. But not a lot of people recognize that. How can you be sinning just by listening to someone complaining about another? You're not complaining about them. You're just listening. How is that a sin? Because you're not standing up and preventing the sinful complaint, you're silently listening to it, and thus you're giving your sympathy to the complainer because you're listening. That's a type of sympathizing. And that allows the seed of evil to be planted in your heart. And if it's not recognized as evil, it will sprout and you'll begin to more and more believe the complaint until you share in the sin. So had Aaron stood up firmly for the right, he might have checked the evil in Miriam. But instead of showing Miriam the sinfulness of her conduct, he sympathized with her, listened to her complaint, and thus came to share her jealousy, share in her sin. Continuing. Their accusations were borne by Moses in uncomplaining silence. It was the experience gained during the years of toil and waiting in Midian, the spirit of humility and long-suffering there developed, that prepared Moses to meet with patience the unbelief and murmuring of the people and the pride and envy of those who should have been his unswerving helpers. So here, God had allowed Miriam and Aaron to be in their positions of responsibility as helpers of Moses. But instead of helping him, they were now trying to attack him. Instead of building him up, they were attempting to tear him down. That's what self will do. God gives us a gift, and instead of using that gift to his glory, self will lead us to use that gift to the devil's glory. So instead of building up God and his cause, we're now tearing down God and destroying his cause. All because self gets in the way. So Moses heard their accusations in uncomplaining silence. Continuing, Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. And this is why he was granted divine wisdom and guidance above all others. So if we want positions of responsibility in God's work, if we want God to bless us with great gifts, then we need to be meek, not self-important. We need to be lowly in heart, not proud and lifted up. So because Moses was meek, lowly in heart, humble, patient, God blessed him with divine wisdom and guidance above all others. Continuing, says the scripture, the meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way, Psalms 25:9. The meek are guided by the Lord because they are teachable, willing to be instructed. They have a sincere desire to know and to do the will of God. The Savior's promise is, if any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, John 7:17. And he declares by the Apostle James, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, or doesn't hold back. And it shall be given him, James 1:5. But his promise is only to those who are willing to follow the Lord wholly, God does not force the will of any, hence he cannot lead those who are too proud to be taught, who are bent upon having their own way. Of the double-minded man, he who seeks to follow his own will while professing to do the will of God, it is written, "Let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord." James 1:7. So if Aaron and Miriam would have been meek, would have been lowly in heart, would have been humble, then they would not have allowed self to come in and control their hearts in such a way that they were led to tear down Moses instead of holding him up. They wouldn't have had any complaints against his wife or against him, because they would not have leaned upon their own understanding of the issue, but instead would have leaned upon God. But God will not force us to follow his will. And so those who give in to self and will not crucify it will be left to follow their own downward path. And sometimes that's the only way to wake them up, is to let them follow their own course until they reach the bottom. Then they could be teachable. Then they could be instructed, because the spell that blinded them has now been broken. But until that time, they don't feel that they're doing anything wrong. They feel that they're in the right, that God has given them reason to complain. But God cannot bless them. But praise God, he doesn't give up on them. And praise God for intercessory prayer, that we can pray for them and God does indeed answer intercessory prayer. Are there any thoughts, comments, questions, dear ones? There's a question in the room. It says, does the Bible ever say if Miriam was married? I can't recall a reading anywhere where it says that she was or was not married. Does anyone here know the answer to that question? Well, it sounds like some homework. when we come back next Friday, let's see if we can find a definitive answer to the question whether Miriam was married or unmarried. So let's see what we can find out. And amen. There's a comment in the room that says, we should not count ourselves too wise or too strong or even too weak to stand against these wiles of the devil. We will succumb unknowingly if we do. Amen. And again, praise God that if we find that we have fallen for the devil's snares, that Christ's hand is close by. All we have to do is flee to him and put our hand in his hand, and he will lift us up. So praise God indeed. Well, we'll go ahead and stop at this point, and we'll pick it up next time at the bottom of page 384. to the paragraph, God had chosen Moses. Dear ones, is there any other thoughts or comments, anything else that you'd like to share, any songs or testimonies, any requests? Please feel free. But you know, a scripture song comes to mind. Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord, thus saith the Lord. Jeremiah 9:23-24. So let us indeed glory in the Lord and not allow self to come into the picture. Well, dear ones, is there any other things that you'd like to share? Before we close, please feel free. I'm not sure, dear brother. We'd love to have you sing and give your comments and all, and I'm not sure why your mic is unable to work. Sometimes there's a little glitch that works its way into the software, and it just doesn't work until things are reset. And sometimes the resetting of the things loses files, and so that's why it is sort of the last resort to have to put it back to factory settings. But that may have to be the case in your situation. I'm not wise enough to know how to solve the problem. The only thing I know to do is maybe try a different input jack for your mic. And if you're using the front port, try the back port or vice versa. And making sure that the mute is off the mic and that you're actually having sound going through over the mic. And that's going into your volume controls and testing it. And if everything works there, maybe reinstall the iVocalize software. You know, maybe the problem is on their end and not your computer's end. But that's the few things I know how to do. But I don't know how to go in and you know, look at your sound card and all of that stuff. But we'll keep it in prayer, dear brother, and Lord willing, it will be fixed and we can have you back sharing with us. And we miss your comments and singing. But dear ones, is there any other thoughts? Amen. That's a beautiful scripture song. Psalms 139:23-24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Psalms 139:23-24. Amen. Thank you for suggesting that. Yeah, I love that one too. Psalm 61:1-3. Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the ends of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I, that is higher than I. For thou hast been a shelter for me, and a strong tower from the enemy. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I, that is higher than I. Psalm 61, 1, 2, and 3. And a strong tower from the enemy. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I, that is higher than I. Amen. And I agree with you, dear sister. It's a very fitting text and song for tonight's study. And again, that just shows you the mercy of God, that when our heart does become overwhelmed, He doesn't leave us, but He points us to Him, to come to Him and lay our burdens at His feet. And by doing so, He will support us, uphold us, and give us His peace. We think that we can bear it all, and we can't. Amen. Surrender self to Him, and He will lift us up.
I wanted to sing that song. It's one of my favorite sister. My dear sister Karina loved this song too. Come unto me, all ye that who labors and are heavy laden. Okay, this is Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And I will give you rest. And I will give you rest. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. And I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. And learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest. Ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy.
Amen, and thank you, dear sister. And receiving that rest from the Lord is so wonderful and joyful. No longer do you have to worry. No longer do you have to be concerned about self being attacked. No longer do you have to worry about character assassinations and all kinds of accusations. You can rest from it all in the Lord. So, amen. Well, dear ones, may God bless. And if any here would like to give the closing prayer for tonight's service, please feel free.
Dear Father in heaven, thank you for this lovely meeting, for being here with us, for inspiring us to be better people because you love us and we love you. And be with us for the rest of the evening. Help us to think the wonderful blessings you have given us. Help us rest well and wake up refreshed in the morning, ready to join hands with you and the rest of the universe in the glorious Sabbath blessing. Forgive us where we've failed you and show us our mistakes and make us strong. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, and thank you. So, dear ones, may God bless. Looking forward to fellowshipping with you tomorrow morning. And for those on the other side of the world, have a wonderful remaining Sabbath. And may God bless you more in this new coming week than last. So until we meet again, dear ones, may God bless. And may you find rest in Him. And I'd like to leave you with this scripture song. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, is thy servant warned. And in keeping of them, there is great reward. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb.